So yes. my wrist was they're destroyed, right, peeling right. shrimp. Yeah. Yeah. So I had to do all of the, like, the worst jobs that day. Uh-huh. And I remember feeling, I was like kind of smiling in my head. I was like, I'm enjoying this. And like, I'm having a good time here. That's and I was cool. like, and then I was like, my parents are going to hate this.
Well, welcome to the podcast, Chef Sydney.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to do more podcasts, and this is going to be my first one.
So. Oh, nice. There you go. Good start.
I built a PR list because I'm trying to do more of that stuff. So I was like, oh, I guess I should get on some podcasts since they're huge in yeah. Austin.
Yeah.
And then I listened to some of your guys', and you had some chefs that I really like. I'm from Portland.
Oh, so cool. Had nice.
People from Portland that I like Olympia Provisions.
Yeah, Eli, he's my buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember like going there when I was younger and being like, this is so cool. Yeah. Like his spot where it's like a butcher shop and everything.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And then seeing it in a store too. And I was like, how do you do that? And I want to do that. So.
Yeah, yeah. His whole operation up there is insane. So I haven't been out there yet, but we're going to go out there and check it out. And I'm really excited about it. So yeah, good yeah. stuff.
So you haven't been to Portland?
Uh-uh.
Okay. Yeah. I'm originally from like Washington, right next to Portland.
Okay.
And then I live in San Diego in the Bay Area.
Nice.
And I'm now here.
Yeah.
When did you leave Portland?
I left when I was 21.
Okay.
With just a backpack. And I went to San Diego.
Nice.
And I found out.
Like literally. No vehicle? Nothing?
Nothing. Yeah. Wow. I actually messaged my mom on the plane. I was like, hey, I'm not coming back. And my mom was like, yes, you are. I'll see you in a week.
Right.
And then I found out that a lot of people in San Diego had the same idea. I met so many people out there that were like, yeah, I also came here with nothing. Because it's just such a beautiful like beach
yeah.
town. And
yeah.
It's well, always yeah. gorgeous.
It's one of those places you don't really need a roof over your head. In yeah. most
I
of
did
the
have
year.
Friends there. Yeah. So I actually stayed in like a shed when I first moved there, like a shed full of books. And then I went from there. I remember being there. I was like, I got to figure this out.
You don't need AC there. So it's like,
yeah, it was so beautiful. Like it was like people camp
yeah.
like there. So
yeah. Last time I went there, I was like surprised at all the vans just along, you know, in different areas. People were like, yeah, they just live out of their van. I'm like, dude, and you get to see the beach every day. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So what made you come to Texas?
The pandemic is probably like the biggest thing. So I came like 2 years ago.
Yeah, there was a different experience in California than mm-hmm. we had here. Mm-hmm. What, can I ask, when you made your way out there, were you cooking already at the time?
No. At the time, I was a model.
A model.
Yeah, so I started modeling when I was 17. And I had lied a lot on like my resumes about my age and then like also my work experience.
Yeah.
And I did promotional modeling. So I actually work with Apple and Tesla and like a lot of tech brands.
Cool. We saw that you're driving a Tesla today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And then you're oh no.
She got that for free.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a promotion. It's part of a promotion. We're doing it right now.
No, but I mean, I guess working for them also did like, you know, it made me really like the brand Tesla.
Yeah. Well, they're speedy and they're awesome. Right
yeah.
Now.
It's a fun car. Yeah, yeah. It's a little bit annoying charging sometimes.
Yeah, but like the benefits, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of benefits.
And then, one in space. I mean, how many cars can you say that about?
Yeah. Yeah. It's yeah. it's a nice car. I like it. Going from like not having a car to like I've had several now. And I know like my sister, I actually had a car that I left with my sister when I moved to San Diego. I was like, and I told her, I was like, I want you to move in with me one day. Just like, wait, let me figure out where we're going to live. And then eventually, like, I went and grabbed my car up there. And I've been in, like, 3 accidents.
Here?
No, just, like, in my life.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I've come to terms with, like, I'm just not a good driver. Like, that's what I've come to terms with.
Well, hey,
like,
that's a humble approach.
Yeah. But being in a Tesla, that thing, like, it protects me from so much.
Smart move there.
Does it really? You're, like, trying to steer, and it's, like, not letting you.
Yeah.
I would have
it'll break, like,
car.
Crazy.
It'll pull
and, yeah.
for you if you're, like, going. And that's not really the problem. So, like, one thing I'm doing right now is I'm back in school. I'm on UT Online. which has been a lot of work. The reason why is because I never finished my BA and I want to go to law school. And one of the things that made me enjoy like law so much was owning a business and then also getting accidents. And I was like, oh, this is like, and I did like, I've been in a couple like legal situations where I just like found the law so interesting. And so the way I realized I drive is I drive the legal way. And not necessarily the safe way.
You can't do that around here.
Yeah. No, I'm like, am I doing the legal thing right now or the safe thing? And so none of my car accidents were my fault. Wow. But that doesn't really matter if you die. So the Tesla's been, it's been nice for that. And then like when you turn on your blinker, it does all your blind spots. It has like cameras and stuff, which is nice.
Heck yeah. I just remember through like driver's ed, there was drive with the speed of traffic. And everyone's speeding, so it's just out the window. Just do it. There's no
rules.
They
told me that too, and I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Like,
well, if everybody's speeding, you get to speed, and everyone's speeding, so we speed.
Yeah, I mean, and I think here, like with the police situation that's going, I don't know, but I'm wondering if people just aren't getting caught doing anything ever because they're too busy doing other stuff.
I've seen, so I was at a intersection once, and you know, it would, for a long time, it would drive me crazy when, you know, you're the left arrow would go from, you know, green to yellow to red and people would still be going through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, these people are going to get it one day. And then one day there was like one car, it's like red blatantly, like third mm-hmm. car, the fourth car, just a cop goes through. And I was like, oh, it truly doesn't matter. Like,
yeah.
He didn't even care. He's not.
I mean, I probably saw almost like three accidents on my way here. There's a guy that was just sitting in the middle of an intersection just by himself when it was like green for us. I was like,
It's a lot because we're a small town, but there's a lot of people here. So it's really congested. And like some of the things don't make sense compared to like your traditional roadways with like grids and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And so like you'll see these people who just clearly do not know where they're going. They're just like trying to see what's happening. Meanwhile, everybody's like, shoom, 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 right by him. So yeah, it's very
especially
dangerous.
That there's a lot here where you have to cut across like three or four lanes of traffic to make like a turn that's 100
the
feet away.
Antonio slide.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it really? Like, I've never heard.
I was like, who built this?
All right. Well, they built it without, you know, the population.
Yeah. Here, so. But even then, it seems so dangerous to have to cut across three or four lanes.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It can be fun.
It's like, and take a right. It's like right now.
It can be fun. You said your sister, though, she's in San Diego?
No, she came here about a year ago. She just moved in with me like a year ago, which I've been super happy about because now I have like family.
Nice.
And like she's also at that age where she just turned 21, so like I'm not even that cool anymore. Like it took me like 4 or 5 years to get her out here, and then now she's like, I'm too cool for you. So, like, great, all this work I did to get you in with me.
Now, is she into cooking at all?
No, she's not, but she does own part of the restaurant from, like, Sweat Equity, like, working with me. When she first moved out here, she did a lot at the restaurant. She says that she's, like, learned how to cook now and stuff, and it's been helpful for her, even though she only eats, like, three things. But
I want to so, Untamed Chef is your Instagram handle.
Yeah, Untamed Chef is also, like, my LLC for my private chef work.
Okay, because you're, like, there's a number of things you do. You have a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so first of all, you do many things through Untamed Chef, what, private services, meal prep potentially?
Yeah, I don't really do meal prep anymore. I used to. It's just not profitable enough. And for me, it's also one thing I hated about meal prep is when you create the dishes and then people don't know how to like reheat them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Or you get like calls.
Yeah, calls or like I just would stare at it and be like, how are they going to screw this up?
Right.
Like just microwaving something, like, you know,
when I've gotten
meal prep for myself in the past, and almost always I go, how can I make this better?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like going to reheat like steak and like asparagus or something. I'm like start making a stir fry and doing all this other stuff.
I think it ends up being hot sauce is the answer.
Hot sauce is a great answer.
How do you make it better? Heat it and add hot sauce.
And I'm a huge fan of hot sauce. Like I used to do like spicy competitions.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Nice. When I was younger.
What's the guy at the St. Elmo's with the spicy boys?
Oh,
they do the...
Yes, spicy ones.
Yeah, hot ones. Because hot ones, well, they do spicy ones.
Spicy ones.
But you've seen hot ones.
Yeah, spicy ones. Yeah, I love hot ones.
Have you seen the spicy? Yeah, spicy. They do the same thing at St. Elmo.
I haven't seen that. I think I've seen like an Instagram post about it, but is it like a regular thing? Or?
Yeah, they do it every like 2 or 3 months, I think.
You should try to get on there.
They interview. Yeah.
Oh, really?
And it's, yeah, it's really good. I made it to the 9th sauce. They do 10 sauces.
Are you?
And they're all really good. Yeah, I went a while back.
But you didn't make it through?
I didn't try the 10th one. I was just like, I know this is super hot, but I took it home and ate it later and ruined my dinner.
That sounds crazy.
Because you put too much. Like I barely put a small amount on my food that night, and I was just like, I ruined it. It's like, this is too hot. But
it's good. Threshold, right?
I was also going to vacation, so I didn't want to rock my stomach like the night before vacation. I was like, maybe I'll take it easy. So my friend and I made it to 9, and we were like, let's just take the rest of them home, and we'll try 10
later. So what was
9
like?
I mean, I've eaten chili my whole life and everything, and salsa, and I'm really good with spice. And once you get to like 6 and 7, it's pretty like direct.
But is it like ears ringing or like how?
I mean, we were sweating for sure. I wouldn't say ears ringing, but I was sweating. And I mean, we were just like dabbing it. You know, we weren't doing like a full, like they give you like chicken nuggets kind of, you know, and you just dip them in each sauce. And so I definitely like barely ate any of 9.
Did you have to sign a waiver?
I don't remember. I think online, maybe when you sign up, when you get the ticket, you might have to sign.
That's
how
I usually determine how hot something is.
If it's going to be hot, you have to sign.
But it's legit because they do like, the sauces are so different. I mean, there
and
might be like
them?
A chimichurri. Yeah. They're like some of their spicy ones. Some people in town, like the owner of St. Elmo, he has a really good habanero one that he always makes. And like, but got to check it out if you like spicy stuff for sure. It's a cool event. They always interview a really cool guest.
Oh, cool. And, I had no idea. I thought it was just like a public competition that they maybe did like a one-off thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's super cool event.
Yeah. There's the like, threshold where like spicy food is great. Mm-hmm. I want some spice kind of with everything I eat, but then there's like whatever 6 and 7 where you're like suddenly it turns into this thing you have to get through.
You're
like sweating, like because that's not enjoyable.
I went to the Reno Chicken Wing Festival, and there I signed a waiver, and I tried this one wing where I literally blacked out.
Oh my God.
My ears were ringing. I couldn't see. Like, I had tunnel vision.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was so bad.
Do you remember what the pepper was? Because what is the top of the food chain now?
Carolina Reaper.
Well, now people are, you know, using all this genetic modification to make the hottest.
Yeah.
So I think that it's just never ending at this point what's going to be the hottest. Yeah. But I think, like, naturally, that would be the hottest one.
What was that? Was that that?
I honestly don't even remember.
Probably a mixture of some.
I couldn't even hear. Like, it was so bad. I've never. And then I started eating chicken after that. I like ran inside because it was Reno. It was hot. So I went inside like the expo center or whatever. Or a casino. Actually, not expo center. And like just like got myself together, and then I went back out there and had some ice cream and more chicken wings.
It is so crazy to think that you could black out and then like have your ears ring. Because I've never had something like that.
Yeah, I've eaten some. I've never had that level, but I've done like, some questionable stuff, and I'm like, no, I don't want to try it. Like, it's cool,
right?
Like,
but after that,
but I like hot stuff.
Yeah. You want to keep going, right?
Yeah.
Like you didn't go, I'm never doing that again. You like wanted. You were like, because it the people do. There's like an association with like. I can't remember.
Is it the thrill?
I think it's real. So, like, for me, when I was younger, I couldn't even handle black pepper. And then what happened?
Crazy transition.
I got really, really sick one day, and I was at a promo job, and I was sniffling. I think I lost my taste and everything. And I went to this Chinese restaurant, and I ordered something where I ate this like black pepper that was in a soup.
Oh, when you were sick?
Yeah, when I was sick and at work, and it just like. I don't know what it was, like an enlightening moment where I was like, damn, this is so hot, but it somehow like fixed my entire esophagus at the same time.
Wasabi's good for that.
And then I was like, this is kind of interesting. Like, I don't know. It like changed me. It was like my superhero,
like
superhero power unleashed or something. And then what I did is I'd go to the store and buy a rotisserie chicken each week, and I'd get a hotter hot sauce at the store. So I was like training. I was doing this
very
thing.
Cool.
And then I started doing some like local competitions, most of them are for charity. So yeah.
Nice. So what kind of like hot sauce do you like to make? Like salsa? Do you make salsa or you make like hot sauce?
I usually like Asian, so like chili oils and stuff like that.
I love the crispy chili oils.
I love that.
You just like put that on whatever, right?
Or like salsa matcha.
I put it on a cracker sometimes. Just like eat chili oil.
It is good. Just as
crispy garlic. Yeah.
Just get a spoon. Go right in. Like, what? No shame. Peanut butter on the couch. Chili oil. Why not?
What's your favorite, like, hot sauce on the shelf? I'm curious because I love to ask people.
I mean, there are so many.
There are,
right?
But what's, like, your go-to?
There's this one. This is kind of a weird one that I just found. Okay, let me start with what anybody could find.
Yeah.
I would say... It depends. Is sriracha or Cholula? Just two basic ones, depending on the food.
I always say when it comes to those two, I say when it's not a hot sauce, it's a way of life.
Yeah. Because they can go on pretty much everything.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, both of them. Yellow bird's pretty good too.
Solid.
But there's this one I had. Oh, man, I'll have to tell you guys the name when I figure it out. But it's from Hawaii, and it's like from this little tiny store in Maui, like on the road to Hana. I found it as someone there makes it, and they have like mango, papaya, and they have a passion fruit one that's really, really good.
I like sweet ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you get that at? Central Market, Whole Foods?
Well, that's
you have to get it in Hawaii.
You can order it online. Nice. I'll figure out the name and tell you guys, Yeah, that one's really good.
You guys have most likely seen this. There's like a taller bottle with like the squeeze bottle, like the yellow bird bottle where you have to twist the cap and you can squeeze it. Because some of them you just you know, it's like a tall bottle. One of them's like a mango habanero one. One of them's like a poblano serrano. Whatever that
is
brand
it black?
Is.
The label, is it black?
No, I don't think it's black. But like it's like the bottle's a little taller and skinnier than most of them. You guys have definitely seen this around.
No, never heard you.
Some downstairs. But yeah. I like that one. And it reminds me of like Yellow Birds. Like, they've got a couple different varieties of some pretty good hot sauces. But
nice.
Yeah, hot sauce is like, it's like, what's your favorite? Meanwhile, you walk into a store in New Orleans, it's like there's a whole store.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and if I make gumbo, then I'll do like Cristal in it. So,
yeah, there's appropriate hot sauces for certain things. But Valentina's, it says it's extra hot. This is the only one. This is kind of gross and graphic, but I'm going there.
Go for it.
Because Steve-O has a hot sauce called Steve-O's Hot Sauce for Your Butthole. Right?
I would not try that.
Well, I never like understood the whole...
I feel like it has nothing to do with flavor. In fact, the opposite. Yeah.
Well, but it's
bad,
like never...
Bad branding.
The whole like burns on the when it's on the other end, right?
Yeah.
Like, I've heard that. Never happened to me until Valentina's.
Oh, really?
Because it says extra hot, and it's not hot at all.
Yeah.
It is, though.
Yeah, it is coming out.
The following day, which is crazy.
That could be their slogan.
Right, a slow burn. It is coming. Just wait for it.
All right.
Watch till the end.
I just like to ask people that because I eat hot sauce all the time, too. And it's like, I found this new one. I can't remember the name. I wish I could, but I got it at Whole Foods, and it's like a Indian peri peri sauce or something, or peri peri sauce, and it's
I think I know what one you're talking about.
It's like got an orange label on it, and it's
That one's
solid.
Good. I think I know which one you're talking about.
I eat the green serrano yellow bird pretty much all the time because that's really good with the eggs. And I grew up on green chili and stuff like that.
And so, restaurant, what is the restaurant? Because this is like drum roll, please.
Yeah,
because I refused to hear it last week.
It's a Plant Box. So if you go to Eat Plant Box, that's the website.
Cool.
Nice. And it was kind of like my project. My idea was like, I want to open this like fancy restaurant. I had worked for like Michelin chefs before, and like this idea of being very creative excites me, which is another reason why I don't love meal prep, and I like private chef like events or more consistent work with that. Since you can be very creative when you have like a family of five or like a dinner party of 10 people, it's just unlimited what you can do. But what I also noticed is a lot of chefs would go from a Michelin restaurant and really fancy, and then they would start opening a bakery and a coffee shop and a fast casual and a dive bar that they could hang out at, and they were more profitable. So I was like, I'm going to try to do the opposite. I'm not going to go raise a bunch of money to open like a nice sit down creative restaurant. I'm going to try to do fast casual first. Mm-hmm. And so I was going to do a food truck originally, and it was going to be like chicken sandwiches and stuff like that. And then I ended up going to Cloud Kitchen. Mm-hmm. And doing,
it's like the ghost stuff.
Yeah, right? The ghost kitchens. With that, they're very expensive. And I started with like $35,000. And that's like a really low budget to start a food business. We were like building it as we were growing, like still putting shelves up.
Would
like,
you have that ready to go? Or did you have investors backing you with the concept?
Yeah, I had like a friend and then my parents, but they gave me like $10,000 total.
Okay. Well, at least they're supportive of the endeavor, yeah?
Yeah, they're very supportive and really helpful. But I also think that... you know, they were being nice. It wasn't like they were like, oh, this is a wonderful idea. Yeah. They were kind of like, they believed that I could do it, but I was still worried that like, oh, I could fail too. And I didn't, like if I would have taken like hundreds of thousands of dollars, which is what most restaurants require, and then failed, I would feel really, really bad because right. I could pay someone back that much, but I don't know if I could pay someone back for a huge amount.
So, okay, so you said you started maybe with chicken, like fried chicken, but that's Chicken Plant Box, obviously, hence the name, is a vegan.
It's a vegan brand.
Now, is it a brick and mortar, or is it more with the Ghost Cloud Kitchen where you order? Because this is a newer thing that, like, some restaurants, if you look them up, are not, it's not, you can't go there and eat. You have to order and either have it delivered or you can go pick it up. Mm-hmm. That's a common thing. Like,
yeah, so we actually moved out of Cloud Kitchen and into our new spot and opened August 17th. So we were closed.
It is a brick and mortar.
So now it's a brick and mortar, but we're inside of a market.
Okay, so it's one of those where you
can still
know
sit
sometimes.
Down. Yeah. But we've had a lot of issues since we opened of like Uber driver. It's called Austinite Market, and there's two locations. They might have a third one coming now, but it's on Harmon Avenue, so it's right next to like the hospital in UT.
Okay, that's a good spot to be.
Yeah,
yeah. So we're like kind of tucked away in the back of the store, which has been has like good and bad parts. Like one of the bad parts, I feel like, is on Uber, they do this select thing where like when you review your meal that you had, you can auto click like pre-made reviews. So it's like tasty and fresh and like a sustainable packaging. And there's one that says hole in the wall and people keep clicking that. I'm like,
is it
hole in the wall, but I don't want it to be.
No, there used to be a restaurant there called Hole in the Wall.
I don't know.
It used to be East Side King. Remember, East Side King was Hole in the Wall. Do you remember that?
I didn't know that.
I don't.
Yeah,
think so.
I wonder if it's the same spot.
I know there used to be a sushi and like Asian restaurant where the market
East Side,
was.
Is it called East Side King?
I know
the one
food
on
truck.
Lamar. And
yeah.
Okay.
Right there.
They have a food truck too. But that's killer. They got the Brussels sprouts, all that stuff.
Yeah,
that place is good.
Yeah. So, but it used to be called Hole in the Wall. I wonder if it's the same spot and like, I don't know.
I think that people just think we're a hole in the wall, but.
But does it have the appearance of a hole in the wall? I mean,
website's
very vibrant, but. So how is the branding? Because I feel like I've run into, like even Taco Deli is not, no, it wasn't Taco Deli. There was this, there's a vegan spot. It's at the Mueller. No, it's not at Mueller. It's up by, you might know what I'm talking about.
It's Mexican? Or?
No, it's tacos. It's vegan tacos, but it's in like a convenience store. But you cannot tell unless you know, like unless you're Googling it.
Yeah, we've tried to put a sign out front and I have like sandwich boards and stuff, but it's still hard to tell kind of where we're at. And I don't want to, my hope is that what happens is, the economy is going to keep slowing down for a while, and I think some leases will open up and rents will drop, and I'd like to secure like a nice brick and mortar spot for us. Still very small, but I'm hoping that we can get a good deal soon.
Yeah, we'll have to come check it out for sure. I had no idea about Austinite Market. You said that's what it is?
Mm-hmm.
That's just a cool name. What do they offer in there?
They're just a convenience store. And
do
they
get like the kind of like local brands though? I would assume. With
both.
Them? Yeah, both.
Yeah.
I was trying to find the name of that restaurant. It may be the Veganom. Do they have two spots? Because they have Cesar Chavez and I don't know. But so your branding is it's so okay. Can you tell that the Plant Box is there when you're just going driving by?
No, yeah. Not really. We're working on it.
Yeah.
We're working on it. But that being said, we did come from a virtual setup. So most That's of good. Our customers yeah. are online.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how do you go about like getting your name out there? Like, is it through like Instagram and stuff like that?
Yeah. I would say Instagram is the big one. Influencer marketing. One thing I'm launching soon is our Plant Babe membership, which is going
Plant
to be
Babe.
Yeah, because it just kind of happened naturally. Our customers started calling themselves like Plant Babes.
Okay.
And then we're like, okay, that's what this is now. Yeah. And that's going to be actually focused on a monthly subscription or a quarterly subscription, and we're going to showcase different cultural meals and make them vegan and also highlight the person behind it. So the first one's going to feature a local artist who's from Puerto Rico, and we're going to make his comfort food vegan. And then we're going to also tell his story and a little bit about him. And that's another way, like for me, I like an indirect relationship with my customers. Like I don't like to be the face of Plant Box. I'd rather it be like a community-based thing. So when I do that type of marketing, it helps because that person is more likely to share and include their following. And that way I don't have to be like the center mm-hmm. of it. It can be that person. And then Absolutely. They're excited about it. And then people are excited about sharing the story.
Nice. Yeah, that's cool connections.
Somewhat similar to like having a podcast. Like I've seen other people start a podcast and they're asking me, how do you grow your podcast? And then I check out their podcast and it's like two dudes
mm-hmm.
and they have a podcast about whatever, games, right? And then they meet every week and they're talking about the latest games and it's just those two dudes. And I realized that like the best way is to have a guest who's enjoying it as well. And they're telling their friends and family to check it out because
right.
our network only goes that far.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have someone else, then you know,
they're doing the promotion because it's about them, you know,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
like they're excited about it as like, you know, one of the reasons why I came on here, I need to do more PR work. I've had a lot of TV shows reach out to me recently and I feel like, because I've been so focused on the restaurant and other things that I haven't had like a really strong social media presence anymore. And so I'm trying to get back into that and just put a lot more focus on it because I know that they can kind of see the drop off because like most people apply to a lot of these like TV. So like Hell's Kitchen, like yeah. Food Network.
What's the big one everybody does? Chopped.
Chopped has reached out to me. And these people are coming to me.
Yeah.
So like I see that as, okay, they see something, but then I think not only am I just too busy for it right now, but I want to build up a different, you know, background before I go back to them and like, okay, I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
And here's
yeah.
like, here's how to get to know me through the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a great approach, right?
I don't know. We're going to find out. Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing, yeah. guys.
But I think what, you know, like highlighting other people, letting kind of them do the it's the best of both worlds because you're supporting them, they're supporting you.
Mm-hmm.
It's there's no way where that doesn't look like some
collaborative work is like the best work you can do.
Best. Yeah.
yeah.
So
okay.
Go ahead.
So are you like full vegan?
No.
Okay. Got
no.
it.
Not
yeah,
vegan, but you offer Plant Box is all vegan.
It's all vegan. Okay. And I eat heavily plant based. I'm just not 100% vegan and I'm actually a little bit, you know, like the whole culture of veganism is a little bit different for me. I look at it from like a world view scope and I see like how many different cultures we have on the planet. And like, if we were to go tell everybody to eat vegan and stuff like that, I just don't think it's right since there's a lot of religious and cultural differences and traditions.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have to have people basically yeah. like it would look like colonialism if we were doing something like that. So that's why I'm not for like that entire culture, and I try to focus on being a plant-based restaurant rather than just like vegan, because I'm not necessarily about saving animals. I just think eating vegan is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel better when I eat that way. Food waste is a huge issue in all restaurants. We try to really focus on eliminating food waste, which is good for the planet and good for everybody.
Right.
So just like some of our mission is a little bit different than other vegan restaurants.
Nice.
I mean, I think that's a good, healthy approach because, I mean, I really haven't run into that vegan that everybody has in their mind where it's like, you have to eat vegan, you know, you're
There's
destroying.
Some.
There are some, but I don't think that's like the best. Because like you don't want to push your own ideas on somebody. Yeah. You know, you have to let them come to that. Of course, I think I'm happy to a certain extent as long as everybody knows, like, animals shouldn't be treated a certain way, or like the mass, what is it, when they're like the chicken farms, all that stuff is awful. Mm-hmm. I think most people agree that that's bad. I mean, yeah, the next step would be to change that stuff. But like, not supporting that is great, but like, it doesn't have to be, you can't enjoy your leather watch band and for yeah, everybody. I mean, to
yeah,
each
I mean,
own.
I have friends that, you know, farm here, and I know people that, you know, use their own cowhide, make their own leather, stuff like that. And it's like a lot of work. It's a process, and yeah, it's a labor of love for them. And if I went and told that person, like, who that's their whole life is farming and this and that, like, hey, you can't do that thing that connects you to like your heritage and everything about yourself, like, it, I almost feel like that's also wrong.
It is wrong. Right. So, like, that's what I mean. Like, if you want to do that, you can do it. But I feel like it's kind of like delusional to push your agenda on somebody else. Cause I wouldn't like be like, no, I have a healthy approach to this, and this is what you need to do too.
Yeah.
It's like, if you want to be a vegan.
There's so many different mm-hmm, types of customers that we have. Some of them are, you know, diehard vegans. I know that the vegan community is also very political. So like, it's very interesting owning a restaurant within that structure. Because people are just, there's a lot of opinions all the time.
Oh yeah.
For better or for worse. Have you heard the expression, it tastes like chicken? I want to tell you about the highest rated chicken farm in the South. Greener Pastures Chicken raises organic, pasture-raised birds in Elgin that the top chefs in Central Texas have been putting on their customers' plates like it's nobody's business. They're USDA certified organic, non-GMO project verified, real organic project certified, certified humane, and go Texan. They're in the final stages of becoming the first poultry farm nationwide to obtain regenerative organic certified status. You heard that right. They're humane, they're sustainable farmers, and they are the chicken of choice for the top chefs in Central Texas. For those of you who love to cook at home, you can pick up locally Greener Pastures Chicken at People's RX and Dias Market, or you can have it shipped to your home courtesy of farmhouse delivery. It doesn't just taste like chicken. For better or for worse.
Yeah.
It's a lot of conversation, right? Yeah. Woody Harrelson is vegan, right?
I don't know.
I don't often like just think about vegan stuff. I'm pretty sure Woody Harrelson is a vegan.
I love vegan food.
I mean, I do too. I mean, vegan food is great. But, yeah. And like, I think what's cool is like doing your part, because cool, you don't need to push it like to the extreme, but like offering something like this.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
it's obviously better to not murder animals to eat.
Yeah.
But if it's done humanely, I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah, I agree. And then when I work as a private chef too, most of my customers, I have all sorts of limitations, you know, paleo, autoimmune, like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Those are really big ones. I've had some really crazy diets that I've worked with, but I've worked with a lot of vegan people or people that, you know, can't eat meat for various reasons. And to get them to enjoy their comfort foods again, while maintaining their diet restrictions and having them excited to eat that and be like, wow, this tastes like what I was craving. That's what would kind of excite me about working with them.
Have you ever heard, of course you probably have, but like when you have like if it's comfort food, right? Like if it's like fried chicken, but it's made vegan or whatever, right? Like copy and paste to whatever meat it is, like faux meat. And people are like, if you just want to eat meat, then go eat meat. But yeah, like, this is what people grew up eating. Like, they want the comfort. Like, that's what it is. Right? Yeah. I hate when people give people a hard time for that. It's like, don't they want to eat something they're familiar with? There's nothing wrong with it.
And my sister, she's a vegetarian, mostly vegan. And we were raised near like a farm. So like, she was traumatized by seeing like cows being killed and stuff like that. And she doesn't even want, like, we got a new steak in that's just phenomenal. Oh, how real it is.
Yeah.
The Beyond Steak tips or whatever. And she won't eat it. She's like, this is too real for me. Yeah. And some people won't. And for me, I'm just like, this is incredible. Like, how is this real? You know? And so it's super. But at the same time, I don't eat a lot of like plant-based meats myself, just because I don't find them as healthy. Like, when I say eating plant-based makes me feel better, it's usually like plants, not a lot of processed stuff.
Sure. Yeah. It's funny because we're on a trend here of vegan restaurants.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Last week we had Rebel planned. Cheese and they were vegan cheese.
I want to work with them. If you can hear me, I want to work with you guys.
We'll give you some contacts.
Yeah.
There you go.
Connect you for sure. I'm actually quite pleased that that's the trend that we're on. It's just making me revisit a certain someone who we said we're not going to talk about, who also cannot eat like faux meats. Like it's just like doesn't resonate with this person, but I'm not allowed to say her name anymore.
Okay.
Voldemort. But
we're on it. So that's very cool though. I'm very happy to hear that we have another vegan spot. And I haven't even heard of it. So
Excited. Yeah, we're trying to get our name out there a little bit more. And like our sales have almost doubled every week and we're making a profit. I'm really happy about that. You know, they say like most restaurants fail in the first year. We've made it a year. And we're doing pretty good. And also like when I see other restaurants struggling right now, I like want to help them if I can. Like we've spent so much time on like our financials and getting our margins down and figuring out all this stuff. And like when I see online, like I have a lot of influencer friends who post about like help this restaurant or that with, you know, something. And I'm like, If anyone ever wants to come to me and just, I will open up my books. I will open up like whatever, because I had some people sort of do that for me, but no one really dive into it with me. And if someone would have done that sooner, then it would have helped me faster. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so like, if anyone ever wanted help in that way, like I would love to share anything about owning a business with anybody, because I'm still learning so much.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's hard. I don't have a partner. I'm like doing this all by myself. My sister, like, she helps me, but it's not her passion, you know?
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
It's hard though. And like, sometimes I get jealous when I see people like that have a partner in business. I'm like, gosh, like, why? How did you guys find each other? And like, because getting someone to care about something you care about the same amount is hard.
For sure.
That is a good point. I mean, if you're doing it, like, how do you find that right person, right?
Mm-hmm. That's what I am. I'm trying to figure that out. I think I've realized that a lot of people don't. They don't find that right person. They do go into a partnership with them, and it doesn't end well. Yeah. So you also don't want that either, you know? So I'm like, And then I've had my friends tell me, like, oh, you're not the type of person that should have a partner. I'm like, what does that mean?
Well, you want, like, the support and, like, like the Hunt brothers, right? Those guys are brothers and the Via 313 owners. But, like, that's, like, easy because they can, like, literally bounce things off each other and, you know, do things. But if you're doing it from the ground up, it's, like, I would ideally want somebody like a brother or, like, whatever, a sister, like somebody close to you that you could trust. But then when it becomes about like money and a job, it's like, how do you know if you're going to actually be able to really connect with these people? Because it's like, we got to make money here too.
Mm-hmm. And then like finding someone. So like one good thing about this is I've learned so much about each aspect of the business. Whereas like a lot of times partners, like one will have more control over the financial situation and looking into that. And the other will be like operations and management. So I've had to do all of it, which has shown me, you know, what I'm good at, what I'm not good at, what I like, what I don't like. And then in the future, when I go to raise money, I've also learned how much money we're going to need when we get like, if I do a creative restaurant or if I grow or scale. And then also like I'm surprisingly good at our bookkeeping, and I thought that part was going to be really, really hard. So now I know kind of what kind of partner I need, like maybe someone that's better at managing people than I am or something.
Right.
Nice.
So when did you like, because you're a restaurant owner now.
Yeah.
And
like, I walk up there sometimes like, how did I get all this stuff?
Well, yeah, and I'm wondering myself, only because like you went to San Diego with a backpack, right? No culinary experience at that time.
Yeah.
What was it? Where was the turning point where you're like, I'm going to pick up a knife and cut some stuff here and start cooking?
Well, I've always loved food. And then I'm from a really small town. And most of the people never leave there. I'm from a very like close, like tight knit religion that is like a Scandinavian religion. Most people just stay within that. Like growing up, we had no music, no TV, nothing.
That was part of the religion?
Yes.
Whoa. You still don't practice that?
No.
Metallica?
Yeah.
So that's like, but no, like, it wasn't bad, because like, I know like Jehovah's Witness.
Like, I mean, I kind of like was over it by the time I was 12. And then my parents, although their parents were heavily involved, they were a little bit outcasty in the community. Okay. And then most parents, like, they don't let their kids hang out with other kids that are outside of the community as well. And my parents let me.
Did you think it was rough? Oh, no.
I was annoyed most of the time because I couldn't wrap my brain around a lot of the concepts. Yeah. And that was because my parents had let me watch TV and they let me hang out with other kids and they let me do this other stuff. So I think, you know, one of the reasons why they don't let you do that stuff is you don't question a lot.
Yeah.
And so from like a young age, I felt like kind of black sheep from the church and, you know, like a lot of kids made fun of me and my sisters growing up.
Like the kids who were like not watching any of the like normal in quotations.
They thought we were
things.
Weird.
So they're the ones making like, fun of you. And meanwhile, you're like, actually.
Yeah, if you guys only knew.
What's really going on?
Yeah.
It's like,
there's a whole world out there, which is kind of like when I started modeling, I would travel for work and I would try this food. Like usually I'd be hanging out with a group of people, someone that lived in the city, and they would be like, hey, this is the best ramen in San Francisco. And I would, it'd be my first time having ramen ever. Mm-hmm. And so,
I would have the best
the first time. And then I remember I'd go home or go somewhere else and be like, oh, a ramen spot. And I'd go eat it. Yeah. And I was like, this is not very good. And so I was disappointed. Like the sushi, my first sushi experience, I had like some of the best sushi. And then I was in New York and I went to Whole Foods and I saw they had sushi. And I was like, this is going to be good. And I tried, I was like, this is so disgusting. Like, why are they serving this? So I think that kind of started it.
Yeah.
Those two like contrasts that I got. Mm-hmm. And then I would go home and I would try to make the food for like my friends and my family. I'd be like, this is what I ate when I was gone. And now I'm going to try to make it for you guys. And then I ended up going to culinary school a couple of years after I moved down there.
In San Diego?
Berkeley, actually.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. And I don't recommend culinary school necessarily for everybody. One of my teachers when I was there, she's like, whatever you guys do, like, try to get a job at the best restaurant that you possibly can while you're here because you'll learn like more than anything. And that's where I started to beg David Kinch for a job. He is a 3 Michelin star chef in Los Gatos. He has like a couple things online if you ever want to learn about him. But he's just like it was not that traditional chef that, like, yells and screams. You know, and he had like the bakeries and the dive bar and a Michelin restaurant. And I remember I went in and I asked them, like, can you hire me? And they just kind of like, whatever, no. And then I wrote like a letter, an email. I was very eager. I wrote like emails to HR and like the head chef and everybody. And then I went in, handed them a letter. And then finally HR contacted me. They're like, so you really want to work with us? And I was like, yes. Like, I was told that this is how you learn how to do stuff. And they had me doing, they made me do a stage where they basically like haze you.
Wow.
Like, that's what it felt like. I had never been hazed before, but I was like.
But was that your first restaurant?
Yeah.
Well, it may just have been a normal day, right? Yeah.
Well, no, they definitely made me do like, they're like, pill like 100 eggs. No. And then they were like, okay, now you're going to fry these peppers and peel all of the skin off and then take all the seeds out and then tice them up very small. And then they would time me on shucking oysters. Like, wow. I want to stop. Yeah. So yes. My wrist was destroyed.
Right,
peeling
right.
Shrimp. Yeah. So I had to do all of the, like, the worst jobs that day. Uh-huh. And I remember feeling, I was like kind of smiling in my head. I was like, I'm enjoying this and like I'm having a good time here.
That's
and I
cool.
was like, and then I was like, my parents are gonna hate this.
What age was that? Like that connection?
I think at that time I was 22 when I was there. I'm 26 now.
Nice.
Yeah, so it hasn't been very long.
Yeah.
That correlation with like the outcast type people in the back of the house, right? There's the reason they're in the back.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Those are like those people doing the thing, the pirate ship people.
Yeah.
And like you kind of had that experience.
And this
up.
Is kind of an open kitchen too.
It definitely sounds like a nicer spot than like your traditional, like just cooks doing their crazy stuff in the back. But like that's like the.
Yeah. There's a lot of black sheep in the kitchen, I think. A lot of. And I was also very quiet. Like, I'm a pretty outspoken. Speaking? No, like, in real life, I'm pretty outspoken.
But in the kitchen, you're quiet.
In that first kitchen, I was very quiet. I had no idea what was going on.
Right.
And, like, it was chaotic.
People were hazing you everywhere.
I think, like, during my stage, I cut myself. Yeah. I'm not even kidding. I was so, like, why? I had coffee, and I was, like, super nervous and freaking out.
But you...
And they still hired me.
I mean, that's cool,
as an intern,
though.
But
yeah,
that's cool.
I mean, they could, if you cut yourself, they could have definitely been like, "No, chef, no, not gonna fly, not gonna fly." But like, it's good. Like, the, I always like the, I wrote a letter. I had to show up like 15 times. And yeah, they're like, give her a shot.
Yeah, I think that they were like, I don't know. I remember them saying like, I don't know why you want to work here so bad, but
really, it's not.
But my teacher had said, even if you're peeling onions all day, like, you're going to learn so much just by what's going on around you, which was so true. I definitely did. And like, I also felt like so much respect for the chefs that I had worked with and the ones that mentored me in that kitchen. It meant like a lot to me that they were willing to teach me. I definitely learned more than I did in culinary school.
Nice. So what do you cook now? Like, what's your cuisine that you're really interested in that you
We're talking say? Home, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really have time to cook at home anymore.
Just grab food from Plant Box and go.
Yeah.
Usually I just eat some like rice and something from Plant Box, but on my way here I had one of those macro bars. I love those.
Are good.
Yeah, those are really good.
I like those. I'm a big fan.
I love
of
the
bars.
Crunch of those. Yeah.
The yeah.
Pro, you know, Pro Bar, the meal one. Pro, they make a probiotic one, and it's cold. But that is
interesting.
I've seen that.
They like run them out of them at Central Market. I talked to them. It's like a supply. It's not because they're so popular. It's like their vendor or whatever, wherever they're getting them from.
There's a lot of that lately.
So good,
for sure.
But try those. It's so good.
Yeah, I'll have to try that one. Yeah, I eat a lot of protein bars, and then I usually unintentionally fast. Like, I don't try to fast, but I'll end up like just being busy in the morning, and then by like 1 p.m. I'm like, I'm gonna faint if I don't eat something.
You're doing the trendy intermittent fasting.
Yeah,
not by choice.
Yeah exactly. Right. But then I'll have like pizza at like midnight, so
that's the best way to break a fast.
Yeah,
pizza.
Yeah.
Let's get
I try not to
spike.
I'm working on like my diet right now because I balance things by calories, so like, and now I'm trying to like focus more on like the health of food because I know I feel better when I eat that way.
Yeah.
So
Can we settle this right here? Is pizza, let's just say cheese pizza, is that bad for you?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it depends on the...
Because I got the...
I mean, I think it depends on what you're eating, you know? Like,
but just
Domino's versus like going to Italy.
Or it's like, what are you eating the rest of the day, you know?
Yeah, no, that's all true.
You know,
or a whole pizza, maybe not.
Yeah, yeah, if you eat a whole pizza, but if you ate good all day, or, you know, or you eat pizza like at lunch and then you had a great breakfast, a great like healthy dinner, it's probably not going to be too bad. But if you're eating like pizza twice a day...
Yeah.
It's just, you know.
Which I honestly, I do sometimes because I order a whole pizza, so I have to break it up.
But cold pizza is so good.
I get cheese and then vegetables.
My other issue is mine is mostly ranch sometimes.
Ranch. There you go.
So it's the vessel for ranch for me.
But I had this discussion because I was like justifying my pizza eating because I do enjoy just getting pizza. I was like, what's wrong? It's bread and cheese. Protein in the cheese. Like, bread got a bad rap, all the gluten-free stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, bread is not always that bad.
Yeah, I love bread. I couldn't live without carbs. Like, I'm not one of those people that can do low carb. I've tried, like, Whole30 once a long time ago, and no matter how much protein I ate, I was so dizzy. I was like, this is not for me. Like, I'm more of a...
This is not good.
Rice, bread... I try not to eat too much cheese, but I do love cheese, especially I used to teach classes on cheese. I know a lot about it. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. During the pandemic, I started like a cheese class thing online.
Oh, you do cool. a few. So you did cheese class. There's also, I saw there's another class, or is that the cheese class?
Well, sometimes people hire me to do classes on different things.
Okay.
Usually those are like private events. So I've worked with like law firms, software companies, teaching, you know, how to be healthy at home. We teach them how to make pasta, you know, making your own bread, stuff like that, which is, it's really fun and like
Meanwhile,
a good team building.
Pizza at 1 o'clock after no food all day.
Yeah.
just don't leave, follow my example.
Yeah.
Listen to what I'm telling you.
I live a pretty balanced life. It's not too crazy. Like if I'm not feeling good the way I'm eating, then I just switch it up and have a salad or something. But I would like to be more consistent with that.
Yeah. It's very tricky. It's very tricky. There's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, it's hard when you're busy and you have things going on and trying to keep a stable diet and everything like that.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, it is. It's nice to surround yourself with healthy foods. Like Plant Box is probably a great option rather than owning a barbecue spot because then you'd probably
I like barbecue, but I rarely eat it because I'm like, I don't have time to take a 3-hour nap after my meal.
I know. It'll get you. Yeah, for sure.
And where's your favorite? Be good. Yeah.
Yeah. Where's your favorite barbecue spot if you eat barbecue? Where you eat it?
I've only had HEB and Style Switch.
Wait, did you do the South HEB, the new big board?
No, it was like the north one off like 53rd or something.
Style Switch is good.
Okay. Style Switch is really good.
Yeah, they have some
great pitmasters over
there. Didn't compare to like the HEB.
But we got to get you to some more spots because you're living in like the mecca of barbecue now.
I just watched the Gordon Ramsay Uncharted 2 on Texas. I don't know if you guys have seen that one.
I haven't seen it yet.
It was so cool. I was like, wow, Texas has... I want to just like run out in the woods and go like get stuff from the forest because I'm like, there's so much stuff here. The other thing I really want to do is like make our own corn tortillas and buy one of those like mortars that you use to ground up masa.
Was that the rattlesnake episode too?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my friend, the rattlesnake guy. I went to school with them.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah, Bob Hansler.
Let's go get one.
I went out to that land and everything just recently, but I grew up with him. And then he's like, I haven't talked to him in several years. And then he just was randomly like reached out to me. And we've been talking again. He's like, yeah, Gordon Ramsay was just out here like a month ago. And I was like, no way. Bob Hansler, check him out. He's really cool. He does a lot of like wilderness videos and like shows you how to survive.
I wonder if I reached out really if he'd take me rattlesnake hunting.
Yeah, for sure.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, if you want to connect with him, I could definitely. I was just texting with him the other day. Yeah, but totally. He's a cool guy.
Totally. I didn't see that one. Yeah.
It's really interesting. I didn't realize like the foliage and everything, all of the vegetation, herbs we have, like, and then obviously the influence from Mexico as well, which
Have you been to Nixta?
No, that's where I want to go. Yeah. I just saw he won a James Beard.
Yeah.
I've been told several times he has the best tortillas in Boston.
Yeah, well, if you're talking about that, insane. That's what you need to do.
Yeah. They're everything they do, and they're just such sweet people.
He's come up every podcast because I can't stop talking about him.
Yeah. I mean, people have been there, and they just had Somebody Feed Phil last night. Oh. The new season of Somebody Feed Phil.
It's
an all Austin like one, and they do a whole thing with the Taco Mafia and Nixta and everything.
Okay, he was.
Leroy and Lewis and all that, which we're always shouting that out.
Yeah, great. I better get there before the episode comes out.
Yeah.
I think it's done. It's like probably blown up right now.
That's like a solid like taco experience where...
Oh, it's the best.
You probably never had a taco experience like that. Like just the flavors and the way it's done with everything. Like you go to a lot of different taco shops and they're different, but that experience is like...
It's true.
How many people can they see...
Oh, they can see quite a few. Yeah,
they have outdoor seating, and then they have some extra area too. So,
but they
they're going to be Franklin's level a line out the door with the chairs.
Maybe one day. I mean, I could definitely see something that they're going to be a part of that would be that big, probably. Because
I'm like super.
About him, I think that he's going to do some really amazing stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I've been saying it's on record on this podcast. Like there's Edgar Rico, there's Austin and Rosemary at Spread and Co. Mm-hmm. There's Ryan Rosen at the Brooklyn Breakfast Shop, and Edgar and Ryan both came from Eric Silverstein from the Peach Tortilla. And Nixta is obviously doing well. I think Ryan has just yet to be discovered, but he has the Brooklyn Breakfast Shop. It's still doing well. Mm-hmm. But
do they serve? Like bagels and stuff? That's what I'm seeing.
Like a traditional Brooklyn breakfast, like sandwiches. They got bagel sandwiches from Rosen Bagels, which he makes incredible bagels. But then he does like just a Egg McMuffin or whatever,
Yeah.
I guess it's not called an Egg McMuffin, is it?
Egg muffin.
Egg muffin. Yeah.
Wait,
egg
muffin. What is it called then?
An English muffin?
Egg muffin.
An egg.
Who calls it an egg muffin? That's a weird name.
McMuffin's probably trademarked. Yeah. It's like Q-tip.
Well, that's what it's like. I would always say, because I grew up eating chicken McNuggets. Mm-hmm. So if I was like ordering at a restaurant, I'd be like, do you have McNuggets? It's like they're not McNuggets.
Like, no.
We have chicken tenders, sir.
Nuggies here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, since we're on this kind of topic, I guess we should start our segments.
Our favorite fast food?
Yeah.
McDonald's.
Our segments now, because we're getting towards the end. So what are you eating? Like, well, I guess you said you just don't really have time
to eat.
What
am I eating?
Yeah, but what are some restaurants? Yeah, like what at home or if you do get food somewhere, like what's kind of like your go-to right
okay,
now?
Okay,
like
favorite restaurants.
Yeah, like what are you eating?
Guys, I have a whole Google Doc that I've been building since I moved here.
What's up?
On like, you know, it's broken down by like drunk food, fancy. Like,
yes.
And then also I have a section at the top that says like, I don't really review steakhouses, for example, because I find like some of the
Bob's,
best steaks.
Perry's.
Some of the best steaks I've had have been at places like, you know, like an Emmer and Rye, which I make. I don't know if I want to start shit here. But you guys can read the list. Like I talk a lot about like why certain places aren't on the list and why places are. But there's a lot of places that lose stars in my book for certain reasons.
Okay.
But there's like over 100 spots. It just depends.
Nice. So like I like to think of this segment as you know, the whole age old question of where are we going to eat tonight? Oh, I don't know. What do you want to feel like? Oh, we're going to go here. We're going to go there. And then you have to listen to this part. And you rattle off a couple good names. Like, let's try that place. That place sounds good.
Okay. So I mean, you guys have probably tried everything too.
It's not true.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, Austin is huge. One of the things about this podcast is really great because like the Rebel Cheese that was here this past week, they gave us like 3 or 4 vegan restaurants that I hadn't even heard of in town. And I was like, well,
which
that's
is
awesome.
Crazy.
So, yeah.
Like,
and I love
there's
that.
There's so many places that you just, it's never ending. It's so crazy. I feel if you ever think you know all the places in Austin, it's, you can't.
Yeah.
Cause like,
I mean,
the
I haven't even
day,
been to that one, Nixa, and it's one of the top places.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean,
it's hard to get.
I mean, yeah, it's like I don't know, top 5 in Austin for Nixta. Honestly, it's
there
so
are
good.
So
it's
many
so
good
cool
places.
Yeah. So what would you say?
A lot of times, if for me, what's that one place called? I gotta find that one. So I like Neighborhood Sushi.
Oh yeah, that's an MML.
I like them because they're easy to get into.
Yeah.
Compared to some of the other spots, and their fish is usually pretty fresh.
They open. Have you heard of Pecan Bar? No,
mm-mm.
Anyone? No.
Mm-mm.
That's
mm-mm.
another MML thing that just opened.
There's a sushi spot up north. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Part of me doesn't even want to tell you guys though, because like it has such good fish, and it's like in
edit
a strip mall. I don't even remember the name right now, so
it's like sure.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I see. It's like
but yeah, like I can always get in, and the fish is always super fresh there.
Nice. So it's a secret.
It's a secret right somewhere, now, but I'll tell you guys.
There you go, off air.
It's like actually south.
And then like for me, I also like a lot of times at night I order Diddy Dog. I love Diddy Dog. They're veggie dogs. Okay. Have you guys been there?
No. See,
it's a small food truck right downtown near 6th. They've kind of popped around a little bit.
Oh, wait. Do they have the long, like, red
it's not
hat
long. It's
dog?
Not long. They do, like, it's Asian kind of influence.
Okay.
And so they do, like, a Korean kimchi ketchup.
Okay.
Nice.
And they have
that
like a
cool
chipotle sour cream, and they do like fried garlic and shallots.
Hell yeah.
That
it's
sounds
and their
let's
veggie dog is so good, but
nice,
they're open till like 4 a.m.
Perfect.
So I can almost always get them.
Yeah.
So that's the spot.
And Diddy Dog.
Yeah. Diddy nice Dog. D I T T Y.
Diddy Dog.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Look at that.
Solid.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. That's on my drunk food list. Because
nice.
A lot of times I'll meet people from like out of town and stuff, and they want to know. I'm like, well, it depends on like what you guys are doing tonight. So here's the list. If it's like a date night or.
No, that's a great option, because I'm always like late night. I'm like, well, Home Slice is open till 3.
Home Slice.
Or
oh
like
my God. Their
Pete
sandwich. Terry's. Their sandwich mm-hmm. is really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People do know that, like their sandals are on point.
Yeah,
but
I
you
think
have
it's
to
like
know
the best in Austin.
It's Home Slice.
Yeah,
for pizza.
Most people go there for pizza.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they're pretty solid. I love going to eat there. I did discover this past week that Pool Burger, if you've been there,
I've
is open
seen
till like
a lot of
12.
Photos.
That's another
till
MML
midnight
property.
Yeah, that's open till midnight on like the weekends. So if you want to grab a like a good
Pool
burger, sit down.
Has a legit good burger.
Yeah, and sure, they have like tiki drinks and like
have
slushies.
Have you guys heard, been to the Bad Larry's Burger Club?
Oh yeah,
I haven't had theirs, but
it's
heard
good.
I've heard great things.
Yeah, really nice guy. Yeah, Maddie and they're pretty solid.
pretty celebrated.
Who doesn't like watching that on Instagram? Scraping a burger on a flat top. It's that's like all I need. It's like that was about as good as eating.
Yeah.
Just layered up the flavor on the grill. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. We love that.
Oh, yeah.
We love doing that. We love smashing burgers for people.
Yeah.
It's one of our things we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say we'd go do it at Plant Box one day, but I don't know if it would fit well.
No.
Maybe not the best.
No meat allowed.
Yeah. Or we do it in the back on our flat top and we smash burgers.
In the back of the, you guys can do it outside.
It's like I don't think you're, parking lot.
How many people do you have working there at Plant Box?
I have 4.
Yeah. But are they all vegans?
No.
Oh.
No, they're not. Actually, nobody is.
See, look at that. The things you would think. Right.
Yeah. Right. And I have amazing people working with me. I love them.
Okay.
That's cool.
I heard I don't have amazing people working
with me. I do.
She's like, nope, I'm going to say it.
No,
that's awesome.
I don't know how, I see people complaining about hiring and everything, and I don't know how I got so lucky with the people that I have.
Well,
we try to do a lot to make them happy because I am a creative person. So whenever I meet another, I'm like, I won't box you in because I get it. Which is another reason why we're doing the Plant Babe membership thing is because I want to also give them an opportunity to create their own dishes and stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
I know how it is when you're just doing the same thing.
Yeah. Well, look at that. It sounds like it's reciprocal.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're a cool boss to work for.
Yeah.
So that would make that dynamic. So,
that's what I would say. Yeah. You create that energy, right? Yeah. So you have good energy. You're super nice. Like this interview's been awesome. And you're the same with your employees, and they probably enjoy working for you. And
if you hear somebody struggling, just be like, take a look at yourself.
Yeah.
Or just leave them. Leave them with that.
Well, I'm still learning too. There's people that have told me, you offer too much, or you're too nice, it's going to come back and bite you.
How would that bite you in the ass?
I don't know, because they've been screwed over in business or been burnt by an employee.
Those are the worst people. I mean, whoever it is, I'm sure they're great, but I hate when people are paranoid over past things and it affects all their decision making and how they it's just bad.
It kind of goes back to the whole me liking law thing too. A lot of times, what happened in that situation?
Right.
And typically it was we just didn't have this paperwork or something filled out and they screwed us. I'm like, well, that's why that stuff is there.
Yeah.
So that you know, everybody, that's why contracts are there. That's why you have workers' comp, I know people that are doing very illegal things in their business. And I just let them know, hey, you should, did you know that if you, in Texas, you don't have to have workers' comp, but you have to have them, you have to have it posted in the workplace. You have to have them sign a piece of paper, stuff like that, and if they go tell on you to the state of Texas, you're going to get a fine. You're going to get in trouble. And that's not necessarily, maybe they were trying to be a dick by doing it, but it's your fault for not putting that in place.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then it's not like the law doesn't work oh, I'm so sorry that happened to
right.
you.
Right.
You didn't know that?
Yeah, you're free to go.
Yeah.
It's no.
No, they want their money. That fine goes paying something.
That's why the stuff's written there.
Let's hit another segment.
We do have another segment here called Potty Talk.
Potty Talk.
Okay.
Potty Talk. Where are your favorite bathrooms in Austin?
Oh, that's a good question.
Cool bathrooms, or not even cool, just bathrooms you want to mention. But we kind of do the best bathrooms in Austin. And so, occasionally
it's really good.
You need to start another Google Doc, right?
Yeah. Actually, I think there used to be an app for this a long time ago. I don't know if it still exists.
Was it really?
Yeah, there was a bathroom.
You're thinking California, and I think
it was a bathroom rating app where people would rate bathrooms.
That's great. That's great.
It's probably still out there, but I think it's not a serious app.
Yeah.
But the bathroom in the Van, not the Van Zandt. What's the one downtown?
Yeah, the Hotel Van Zandt is
on Rainy.
Van Zandt's cool too. Not in Rainy though. There's one downtown, the Gables. It's next to the Gables.
Okay.
Zaza. Hotel Zaza.
Zaza.
Their restaurant up there.
Yeah.
When you go up there, there's a bathroom. And I like that one. It kind of gives me this old 60s schoolhouse vibe.
Nice. Okay.
So
I hear like a lot of hotels have really good bathrooms.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that I think people know these days is that Instagram is important. And so if you make your bathroom Instagrammable, so girls can like, take selfies or whatever in there.
The bathroom selfie.
Yeah.
Instagrammable.
Yeah.
I mean, that is kind of like, we started doing this segment a while ago, but like, it's just funny because it's rapidly, like, it's a thing. Like, the bathroom has to be designed so you can take a selfie in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I've thought about all this stuff. And because like, I still have these, you know, ideas of opening another restaurant that's really creative. I'm like, oh, what are we going to do in the bathroom? Like, all the cool stuff. There's this place in Portland. Actually, they're in a lot of places now, Bamboo Sushi. There was like three locations in Portland, and I think they moved to Silicon Valley while I was still there. And they, in their bathroom, they would just play a loop of an Asian or a Japanese playlist of like learning the Japanese language. So it'd be like the Japanese word and then the English word. And it was just really quiet. There's no music. And I was like, that's so interesting. Right. And I always love that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh. I think like, Emma and Rye does culinary podcast.
Oh,
yeah. In the bathrooms. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you heard that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
There's a San Diego spot that does all their bad Yelp reviews. They have a recording of it.
Nice. They read them out.
Yeah.
Do you put any thought into that stuff, like with when you're looking at reviews on like PlantBox or anything?
Honestly, we're trying to get our reviews up on Yelp and Google because we have good reviews on we have a 4.9 and a 5.0 on Uber and DoorDash, and we have like hundreds of reviews there. But because we haven't been like brick and mortar long enough, like most people don't go to like our Google, which sucks because then when people, like, Google and Yelp are huge for people looking you up.
Right.
So I'd like to.
It's a love-hate thing because it's a microphone for everybody. And if they have the bad day and then they go and then they didn't like the whatever happened, then it's like
And then there's
We just try to do better. Like, you know, we had some issues recently where an employee was kind of, or, you know, I don't want to say that. Like, we were forgetting some of the stuff maybe in a bag, like whatever it was, or missing order notes. And like, we didn't get any comments from the customers.
But they chose to write a review.
They didn't write a review. What they did is on like, and it's hidden, it's anonymous. But they were like, didn't follow order notes. And that goes back to like how Uber has those pre-made things that you can click. And so it was hole in the wall, didn't follow order notes.
Yeah.
And so like now we have a poster on the wall that's our quality control. It's like, okay, we're going to go down the list. Another thing I love about the people I work with is we only need to talk about this once and then it's done.
Yeah.
I haven't had that issue since then.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, and also I feel like.
But it helps all of us too. I'm like, I don't go in like, hey, you did this. It's like, I don't know who did it, but we're getting these comments. So let's figure out how to do this better. Or we get behind, like as we grow, we're trying to streamline certain things. Mm-hmm. Like cooking certain things to order has gotten more complicated. How can we reduce the prep time on it or the line time? So, yeah.
I'm totally serious. I think if you do some investigating, I don't know exactly where you're located, but I have a feeling that you might be in the old hole in the wall location.
I'll look that up.
Well, you should look it up. And it was some ties to Eastside King, but it was like a music venue too.
Oh, okay.
It was incredibly dingy, but they had great food, but like,
That would be a hard SEO business name. I feel like, where to find hole in the wall? Awesome.
Right,
it's just like several articles on
dive bars. But you're right there. What is that? Guadalupe? And then like, is that?
I am right on 38th and Harmon. So it's 38th is a hospital right there. Uh-huh. And then it goes right through campus. And so like, we're just a little block north of that.
Cool. 38th and Harmon.
I swear to God, I think that's what it is. But I don't know.
All right.
And then what was your website again?
Untamedchef.com and then eatplantbox.com.
Eatplantbox. And I looked up the Instagram for PlantBox Austin and then Untamed Chef_. I mean, we didn't even talk about your Instagram, which I find somewhat interesting.
Yeah.
Because your Untamed Chef Instagram, actually, where did it go? Is like, you're modeling.
Mm-hmm.
That's what is happening there. You're like a food model, kind of.
Yeah. So my big plan was when I first moved here, I was like, I don't know anybody. I don't know how I'm going to do this restaurant thing. And so I was like, I know what to do. I'm just going to post the most weird, like, modeling pictures with food. And I think it will help me, you know, get into that space, which it did. I became friends with a lot of the food influencers here.
Cool.
And then I just, because I've been so busy, I've been really wanting to get back on that. And now,
when's your last post here?
Like over a year ago, maybe.
Oh my God. Yeah. I didn't even realize that. Yeah. You need to hop back on it.
Yeah. So what I'm going to start doing, I think, is like, if any restaurants want to work with me, I'd love to shoot with their food. That way it's not just about like mine anymore. So yes. I have more variety. Plus it's fun. I shot with the Show Me Pizza. Ben, the owner of that, is like one of my good friends.
Heard really good things about that.
Yeah,
pizza.
He's great. And he's been so helpful. Like, he'll help me like move kitchen stuff, or like, hey, my oven's broken. Like, can you come help out? So he's been really resourceful as well. I want to shoot more of that kind of stuff, just randomly with. I have a Snaps by a Girl, does a lot of my photography as well. She's really good. I recommend her for anybody.
Cool.
Nice.
Okay, so she takes all the photos for the majority. Plant Box too?
Not Plant Box, just the Untamed Chef, yeah.
Cool.
That's cool.
Well, nice. Yeah, you should hop back on there. I had no idea that it was like left alone for a year.
Yeah, running a restaurant is pretty tough. Turns out. Yeah, it's a lot of work, but I finally found some balance in my life. It used to be me there like all day, every day. Now, in the evenings, I have a little bit more time. Being in school has been tough too. Like, you know, I go from the restaurant, do my classes, and that's pretty much my life.
Yeah.
But we'll connect you with Frank and at Rebel Cheese.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And the Rattlesnake guy.
The Rattlesnake guy. Bob. Yeah. Yeah. He might come in for an interview too. So
you should totally have him. That'd be great.
Yeah.
He's totally cool. Always welcome to come back. And if you're whatever, bring your sister. I don't know, whoever you want. Have fun. Yeah. Come back in. Or if you do any more collabs or anything, we'd love to hear about it.
And one thing, what was the address of Plant Box? Like the physical address?
Yeah, it's 3318 Harmon Avenue.
Inside Austinite.
Inside the Austinite market.
Yep. Go check
it out. It's okay if you call us a hole in the wall. We kind of are right now.
Right. We'll be like, oh, the hole in the wall. Yeah.
Well, very cool. We'll send you home with some ranch riders here.
And some hop waters too. Some
green chicken if you want to as well.
Green pasture chicken, hop water from St. Elmo. So catch a few things
cool
to go there.
Chef Sydney.
Yeah.
Check it out. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.